Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
Chewy, I gotta know, because earlier this week you weren't feeling great about this game coming up, Packers taking on the Giants Sunday at noon. Again, get ready for the game, Green Bay Game Day. Myself, Alex Stroff, John Anderson, Brian Bulaga have you covered from 9 until noon on Sunday morning. But you were thinking about taking the Giants. You weren't sure who you were going to take. Now that you've been removed a little bit longer, now that we are getting closer to the game, are you still there? You don't know who you're going to take, or who are you leaning towards?
I put my pick in. 17-3. I still think the offense is I just still think they're flat, even if Golden does come back. I think the uncertainty on the offensive line will affect play calling. Not big on Sean Ryan, even though he did play pretty well when he filled in.
I feel like he can't be
Jenkins when he went.
Like, maybe he's as bad as Elton Jenkins, but I feel like he can't be worse than Jenkins.
He just holds too much. He holds too much in this 3-4 world. But they're a 4-3 team, right?
Yes.
See, when I played, I think 30 of the teams were 4-3, right?
Okay.
As opposed to a 3-4. Carolina and Pittsburgh were the only ones that ran the 3-4. The thing with the 3-4 is you most times have a center. I mean, a man on the center's head a lot of time, or shaded. 4-3, you don't, right? So you're more of helping out either way, which helps him in this situation because, like, there's not anyone on his head that he would have to attack immediately because I think he likes to hold. So
technically they are a 3-4.
They are.
But again, Chewy, like, 3-4, 4-3 doesn't matter in today's NFL because it plays nickel 75% of the time. So it's basically we went through this last year, right, when Jason was talking about this, or 2 years ago when he was talking about it.
Yeah.
With Joe Barry. And, well, it's basically, you know, the linebackers are basically defensive ends. Then you've got your two down linemen, and because you've got the extra defensive back. So everybody's basically going, yeah. I mean, 25% of the time, maybe they go with Dexter Lawrence lining right up over, you know, Sean Ryan, but 75% of the time they're going to be a nickel.
But here's what they do defensively. You always identify the weak link, and he would be the weak link, correct? So they're going to put him to a test, not only with the blitz, but
sadly, and I don't want to have this. I don't want to have this debate, Chewy.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Sadly, I don't know if he is the weak link. We could have a debate between which three of the interior. I feel good about the outside spots. Like, I feel good of, you know, again, obviously Zach Tom's one of the best right tackles in the league, and he's had his health issues, but he's still been really good for the Packers this year over on the left side. Even though he's not going to be here next year, he's been solid. It's been the middle three, I think, that have been the biggest issues for the Packers. And I don't know who's been the biggest issue.
Why I would hope that LaFleur learns from the Pittsburgh game where they started off trying to establish the run and then figured out, hey, this is one of the worst defensive backfields in all of football. Let's throw the ball. I hope he comes out in this game and says, you know what, we're establishing the pass to set up the run, right?
That's just tough because this team is so bad at stopping the run. Like, the one thing they do well is getting after the passer.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some guys that kind of scare you in terms of rushing the passer. Like, Brian Burns already has 11 sacks in 10 games.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just, I think they're going to struggle running the ball with the offensive line that they're going to put out on the field. Maybe I'm wrong. But, I mean, in normal circumstances, look, and I said it, if they beat Carolina by whatever, and then lose to Philly the way they did, this wouldn't concern me as much. And how many times have you seen it happen, Gabe? Team fires a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Backup quarterback playing. How many times do those teams wind up beating a better team that week? And then they suck the rest of the year, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but
again, I mean, that's what happened a couple of years ago when they played the Giants.
Tommy DeVito comes in.
They win. The Packers were victims of the interim coach bump back in 2011 after the Chiefs had fired their coach. I think Romeo Crennel took over in that game, and that was the one game they lost in the regular season. Like, yeah, I mean, you've seen it before.
Yeah, if they were playing this team in 3 weeks, I'd be like, all right, this is a 34-7 type game.
The problem is, I just honestly don't know how the Giants can score points.
Yeah, I mean, unless Wandale, Jameis just does Jameis stuff.
Wandale Robinson. But who's he throwing the ball to? Wandale Robinson?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. But hold on, Gabe. Gabe, look what Carolina did. Now, granted, they rushed the ball, but they threw for 100 yards. 100 flipping yards and won the game.
When you play like the Packers offense, one bad play for the defense or one blown coverage could lead to points that is a difference maker. What I'm really afraid of when it comes to the – it's less to do with Jameis and the Giants offense. It's that the one place the Giants are bad at is run defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to confirm to Matt LaFleur he should double down on it. And it's going to be more effective than it was against the Eagles, but still not very effective. But we're going to get caught in a loop where they run the ball too much, they aren't challenging downfield, and they think, like they have before, we can get out of here with a win if we just score enough points and let our defense do most of the heavy lifting.
So let me ask both of you guys, is there anything they can do in this game that would make you feel like, all right?
No, I think at this point it's gotten to the point of we have to have serious concerns about the offense moving forward. Will I feel better and say, oh, this is something to build off of? Sure. But to erase what I've seen between the Eagles game, what I've seen the Dallas game, what I've seen the Browns game.
Well, they scored 40 points against Dallas.
Right, but that was the defense then not being able to work. So there's like, they've had too many instances. I mean, hell, the Bengals game, now when you go back and look at that in retrospect, that was pretty ugly. They got a win, and it counts in the win record. The Washington win now almost is meaningless with how bad that team is.
What about next week? In Minnesota, or it's at home, right?
Next week is home versus Minnesota.
Yeah.
Is there anything that can happen there after a Packers
win? It depends upon how you stack it, right? Like, if you stack it back-to-back, especially as respected as Brian Flores is across the league, like, if you put something out there that you can build off of in the Giants game and then start to stack those successes, to use a Mike McCarthy term, like, that's how you turn it around. But the problem is, right now, is the offensive line. As much as we hand-wring over, and you brought this up, Chu, like in the four-minute offense, everybody knows you're running the football. A lot of times, they might even know where you're running the football. Doesn't matter. You do it. And it's going to be tough for the Packers to have the offensive success they want. Like, Matt LaFleur could call the perfect play, and the offensive line's going to blow it up. Right? And again, I'm not trying to alleviate any of the pressure or blame from Matt LaFleur, because again, there are plenty of examples over the last 2 weeks of him making bad decisions and making bad play calls. But unless the offensive line can actually start playing better, none of it actually matters.
No, I agree. Because I mean, these next two games, fine. You should win them. I think they will win them. To me, it's all about Detroit on Thanksgiving. It's like, okay, how do you look? And I think we'll either be able to say, they got a shot to win it all. It's probably not as good as it was at the beginning of the year, but they got a shot. Or you're going to say, this team is toast. Right? And you're right, Gabe. It's from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah.
Not defense.
And honestly, for me, it's the offensive line. Like, to overcome the loss of Tucker Kraft, who's one of your true blue chip players, the offensive line just has to play better.
The one thing that we've sort of not really talked about, because there wasn't many opportunities for it, was just how Matt LaFleur's decision making had affected so many previous games. And that, to me, is the one thing that I have in the back of my head that I'm still scared about in close games, in big situations where he's going to make the wrong decision that ultimately leads to a loss.
Because there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason behind any of it.
It is.
And that's the problem.
It is firing from the hip personified. Just whatever at that moment, however it feels. And then sometimes if we call a timeout, it might actually change. I might have a different idea than I had prior to that timeout. And there's really no rhyme or reason
why. Well, that's what happened against Arizona. But there was a rhyme or reason behind it. The quarterback looked pissed.
Don't know if that's the right rhyme or reason.
Look, it doesn't matter. It's better than not having any rhyme or reason at all. I would agree with that.
But this 7 weeks ago, this game for me was like, all they got to do is show up in the tunnel and project that they're going to stomp the Giants, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Because of the way the season started.
But now you got to start, you got to, like, all these games are important. You got to start looking better. You got to start stacking.
I'm just wondering what kind of life the Giants are going to come out with.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
They'll probably come out as good as they can because Jameis is that
the
kind
life,
of guy.
Yes. I think they're going to rally around, especially, I don't know how they feel about Kafka. I know that literally to a man, anybody who's ever played with Jameis loves Jameis. Yeah. And I think that they will play hard for him. The problem is, like, if Jeff Thomason plays hard, Chew.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's cool. Good for you for playing hard.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're just so beat up on
the
offensive side.
Why are you taking my guy JT out?
Well, because I used a name that would be recognizable to you. Okay. I decided to make my example for an audience of one.
So that's kind of like Bo Melton playing receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice that he caught the ball for a six-yard gain.
Good for you, man.
That's where we're at?
That's where the Giants are at in terms of their offensive talent. Like they had very few offensive talented players to begin with, and now their top three are all gone. Their quarterback, running back, and their wide receiver.
Okay.
That's where they're at. We are going to quiz Chewy on what he said throughout the course of the week. We can reach you coming up next. But if you want to boost culture and have a captivating corporate event, like an appreciation party, brand activation, and more, you need to contact my friends at Events by Design. Just search online, Events by Design. Creative team Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do, believing every event should not just be successful, but fun. One people are still talking about years later. So retain that top talent by investing in your culture today, because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They got the hair dryer
control
on 94.5 ESPN.
Cheez It, the legendary snack cracker, now available as a frozen pizza. Each crust a giant original Cheez It flavored cracker. It's, again, square shaped because that's what Cheez Its are. So it's a square pizza, ultra thin, super crispy. And because it's made by Palermo's, you know you can trust the sauce, the toppings. They're going to complement that Cheez It flavor perfectly. Great flavors like Italian four cheese or Jack Supreme and pepperoni. Plus, it's got one of the shortest bake times. You go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Reach You.
All right, big guy, we got 5 questions here that are accompanied by audio clips. We quiz you on things you said throughout the course of the week. See if you remember them. 3 right, you win. 3 wrong, you lose. How do you feel going into this week's Week in Reach You?
Solid. I feel solid.
All right, Josh, let's go with the audio clip for question number 1.
It was a joke. It was a very good joke. It wasn't even a dad joke.
It was literally apropos of nothing.
What joke did you decide
to halt the show with and tell everyone earlier this week?
It was a Polish joke. It was, which one was it, though? It was a Polish joke. Not leaves in the trees. Hold on.
You've got a whole Rolodex of Polish jokes?
Yeah, I got
this
a couple.
Is your material?
That's kind of exactly the road I hope this was going down.
Which joke did I tell? You want to hear the leave joke?
No.
Oh, it's a light bulb. Light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb.
That is correct.
You know how I know that? How it came to me?
How did it come to you?
Because we got Angie's family who are going to be staying at the lake house, and she stopped by there a couple weeks ago, and the battery detector, which is a very annoying in our bedroom, is going off. Because of the battery.
But the battery with the smoke detector. Sure,
that's how I
sure.
got there. So it takes 2 people to change the smoke detector battery like a light bulb.
Same thing. Okay. All right. Question number 2, Joshy, because that makes me uncomfortable and want to move on as quickly as possible.
And then they rebranded. Their rebranding is so big right now. Good and bad. It's the in thing.
What company name do you say wrong and claim it's due to
Nike.
Rebranding?
Nike. Nike. Why don't you guys believe me on that, number one?
Which year would they have rebranded?
I got my first pair of Nikes in sixth grade. So that would have been, how old are you in sixth grade?
Like 12.
Josh, is that right?
I think that's about right. I don't know.
All right,
know.
So 1969 I was born, plus 12, 71. No, sorry. 81. In 1981, it was called Nike. Google it.
I have before, and I believe just people on the East Coast, some people on the East Coast would just call it Nike because they didn't realize it was Nike, but it's always been Nike.
Okay.
Hmm.
What sounds better? I think Nike does.
Because that's what you grew up with, thinking it, that that's what it was.
One syllable is always better than two. Okay. Just is.
All right. Can you pull that? Once is one syllable always better than two? Let's go ahead and throw that on the Infinity Exteriors poll. All right, but you're off to a good start. Two for two.
Let's see if he's going to get it.
Oh, wow. Josh, he already
calling
it.
It's going to be a clean sweep. Something happened earlier in this program, and it made me go, oh, no.
I love it.
Question number three, Joshy.
Coach fired. I mean, how many times have you seen a coach fired and the team is galvanized?
What word did you try to say there?
Galvanized.
Oh, wow.
Did I already say that?
He said galvanized, I believe, in the previous segment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was already too late. I had already written the question. I knew.
He already had the audio clip. Couldn't pivot away from it. Oh, wow. So we're three for three. Let's make it four for four.
Well, if it was so good, they would serve it at restaurants, which they don't. Turkey. Turkey.
Jeez. I didn't even have to ask the question. What food doesn't get served at restaurants because it's not that good?
It's a no-brainer. Are you with me?
That has been a take of yours for quite some time.
The first time I've heard it.
It's the correct take. Right?
I can't think of many places I've seen that have a turkey offering.
About the only place that you will, I think, is like a diner. Like a really old-fashioned, greasy spoon
like
diner.
Like a blue plate special?
Yeah. They'll have like some sort of turkey dinner with like mashed potatoes and peas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're four for four. Joshy thinks you're going to go five for five. Let's see if you can do it. For the second, the only other time you went five for five, Joshy cut the clips, but Will wrote the questions. So the only other time you've gone five for five, it was blamed on now full-time Will.
Okay.
Let's see if you can go five for five.
Which drives my wife absolutely crazy.
Which of the many things that drive your wife nuts did you tell us about this week? See, this
breathing?
Is tough. This is breathing.
Drives her absolutely nuts. Well, you know, like the Polish jokes. This is a laundry list. What day was that?
This would have. This was also on Wednesday. This was part of our Wednesday conversation.
So something must have happened for me to bring it up on the show. Drives her crazy. I have no idea.
You're going to give up? You're going to tap out?
Yeah, I don't have it.
Blammer getting drinks for getting your mail.
Oh, yeah.
Your neighbor gets your mail while you're gone down in Florida.
Yeah.
Instead of putting it in the house, he holds it hostage.
He does. Yeah.
So he
Which
can
is
come
actually,
over and get a drink.
It's a real good move on his part, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody blames. Well, nobody but your wife, I think, blames him for the move.
Yeah.
I think everybody else understands the move. Your wife probably even understands the move, just doesn't want him to pull that move.
And we're talking packages too, Gabe. We're not just talking mail. He'll come up with four or five boxes in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. That was around the turkey conversation.
So what do? I got to send her shopping Saturday afternoon?
If that's when you're coming back, yeah. Because you know, if I know one thing about the Blammer, he is going to be looking to cash in that drink as soon as
ASAP.
Possible. He ain't waiting. He ain't waiting for a Blammer Thursday. This is bonus. You're back. He's coming over on Thursday.
Yeah.
He ain't bringing the mail. He's bringing the mail sometime before Thursday.
Yeah. I don't think I even have to send her shopping. All I have to say is, hey, Blammer's bringing the mail up. I'm gone.
Yeah. 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 I was about to say, you don't even have to distract her. You just have to let her know what's happening and she's going to want to be out of the house.
Okay.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making that plan to propose to that special someone in your life, you already know what I'm going to say. Yeah, you need to go to the Jewelry Center. The helpful team that Dean the Dancing Machine has put together over there at the Jewelry Center, always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you have an idea and just want to take a look at the inventory that they have in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com, or if you bring in ideas from like her Pinterest page, they're always going to make sure that dream ring becomes a reality, whether it's a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond. The Jewelry Center is always going to have you covered. Just like they've helped me over the years. Again, when it was time for me to get that engagement ring, there was only one place I was going to trust, and that was always going to be the Jewelry Center. Stop by Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online, shoptjc.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than
they
Wisconsin?
See that picture?
We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy can just bring up championship. We don't even need championship.
They've had one championship.
What, is going to be put like a hologram over there?
What?
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Always love catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Chewy. Are you excited for the momentous occasion tonight? The big video, everything? It'll be really a celebration unlike any other. Or maybe like the one we had for Chris Middleton, but a little less.
What is it?
I mean, you're a Boston guy. You know what it is.
Patriots won last night?
No. No.
He has no idea.
Come on. Pat Connaughton returned to Milwaukee.
Oh.
One of the key cogs in the breaking the 50-year drought of the championship.
And he's getting a video tribute?
I mean, he better.
I can't imagine.
Wait.
I can't imagine.
Oh, bite your tongue.
They're going to give him a video tribute?
I have thought that the Bucks should do video tributes for, like, Kendall Marshall. Like, like for just about, like, anybody who's been on the team. Because I think culturally they've had an impact and they've committed to the culture. But Pat Connaughton's a no-brainer for a video.
No. The only one that
put it
would
on the poll. Oh,
who was the enforcer when they won it all?
PJ Tucker.
Now, he should. Yeah, I would say he was instrumental in them winning the championship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pat Connaughton, not so much.
Oh, but are you kidding me?
He played a fairly significant role.
He led
the
NBA Finals in three-pointers made.
That is the equivalent of the next reunion we have for Super Bowl 31 giving Travis Jervey a video tribute.
No.
Yes.
No, he would be like I'm trying to Mike Pryor.
He'd be like Don Beebe.
Beebs. He'd be like Pryor.
No,
I mean, he's more important than Beebs.
No. What?
More important than Beebs?
Probably.
What's the most points Pat Connaughton's ever scored in a Bucks game?
No. How about Game 5 NBA? Let me just look it up. NBA Finals.
He had almost a 40-point game last year. Yeah,
but no.
Before
but
he left.
Okay, so Game 5, which was the pivotal game, right?
Yes.
It was the only game in that series that the road team won a game. And so it really was the game that swung the series. In that game, Pat Connaughton made 4 of 6 three-pointers, played 33 of the 48 minutes, 14.6 rebounds in the pivotal game that swung the series.
I like Gabe's comp of Mike Pryor commitments.
PJ Tucker was so important defensively throughout that whole run. But, I mean, Pat Connaughton, I mean, he was scoring at
Mike
another
Pryor.
Level and contributing at an absolute another level.
Mike Pryor had an interception in the Super Bowl.
And I think he fair caught some punts. That feels about right. Yeah.
You're crazy, Chewy.
Craig, are you afraid of AI?
Wait. Just listen to this real quick. Game 1. Two three-pointers. Game 2, 4.
We're losing listeners by the barrel full right now.
Pat Connaughton video tonight.
Perfect.
Only if they show a highlight of him jumping past somebody shot faking on a corner three.
That's rude. All right. I'm
he did
not,
that more than anything else.
I am fearful of what AI can do if it is not managed responsibly, absolutely.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. All right, now a real question. Because
well, so Chewy, you're not going to provide robot, the context? Wait,
Chewy, will you have a robot? Like when there are, like when you could have a robot assistant that could go to you, go to the store for you, do everything for you, go shopping.
No,
I've got too much time, Craig, to have a robot.
He loves
going. I mean, as cool as a...
Will you be pissed off when the robot's like cut in front of you in line at the grocery store?
Now, if the robot would go to me and interact with me on Saturday lunch, little liquid lunch, liquid lunch. I don't need to say anymore. I guess.
And then drive you home. And then the robot can drive you home for
way much.
Oh, yeah, I would buy for. But to clean the house, I'm not. No one touches the lawn except for me. It's just.
What if the robot just watched you do the lawn?
I believe
and told
lawn
you how good
care is a hobby. Okay, yes, it is a hobby. I think if you put it on the pole, I'd get 10%.
Yeah. No, but that is the point. The point is with these robots and with AI, like the things we do aren't going to be because we have to do them. It's because we enjoy doing them. So you could have your robot watch you do the lawn and just tell you what a great job you're doing on the lawn.
Blammer robot? But...
What?
Blammer robot. You could have Blammer with you Joshy, in Florida.
Joshy, and I know you're in my camp. I don't need to spend $50,000 on a robot. Josh, I could say, hey, I'm covering everything. Okay. Meet me at this place on Saturday.
So I don't know if you saw this online yesterday, Craig. Here, I'll kind of scooch this the best you can see.
I do see the picture. Can you just scooch the picture of Chewy so that people who are watching on YouTube can see the Chewy picture?
Yes, yeah, we will. So, yeah, we've got that as well.
Don't do that. Deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah. But here is a video, Craig, that we were talking about earlier today that made everybody uncomfortable. A new app that is available using AI to keep your loved ones alive.
He's getting bigger. See? Oh, honey, that's wonderful. Kicking like crazy.
He's listening. Put your hand on your tummy and hum to him. You used to love that.
Oh, I predicted this.
It feels like he's dancing in there.
Oh, honey.
Mom, would you tell Charlie that bedtime story you always used to tell me?
God, it just feels like a Stephen King
horror movie. So the premise of that video is that her mother is obviously no longer with us, and she took a video of her mother before she passed away and now can use this app to always have her mom and have these awkward conversations with someone who's not actually her mother.
Yeah, well, you're saying awkward, but I think that will be normalized. I don't think that will be awkward.
I hope that's not normalized.
Why?
Because it's not real. Like, that's not a real conversation. Like, having an actual relationship with someone, and I used the example of before, and I'll keep it quicker this time, but when I played the Old Course for the first time, like, I love golf, and golf is an important part of, and my grandfather is somebody who got me into golf, but he's been passed away for almost 20 years at this point, and I thought of him as I was walking up the 18th, and I would have loved to have a conversation with him about the Old Course, because he never went to Scotland, he never played over there, but I can't, because he's no longer with us, and not having that real conversation, that to me is just such an empty feeling.
Right. That's for
you. Because it's just not real. It doesn't actually exist. The app
recreate. So will you not play golf on a simulator?
Yeah, no, I do that throughout the course, but it's not the real thing.
Right. But you still do it in the winter?
Sure, but
you can't go to the Old Course every day. It's not the same. It's not emotionally as connected as being on the Old Course, but if you have a simulator and you're playing the Old Course or you can't afford to go there, then it's an alternative that you have that is not the same as the real thing.
And I feel it also prevents you from actually dealing with your real emotions and feelings around that person no longer being with us.
It's creepy.
Yeah. I think it's everything, right? But I think it's going to be the reality of it. And I think the crazier thing is, like, at what age do you save your mom? Like, do you have your mom when she's 30 or 40 or 50 or 20 or 10? Like, it's all, the whole world is going to change with all of this. And I think different people are going to connect to it in different ways. And I think you're right, how people deal with emotions and deal with feelings, but maybe it's going to allow certain people to get to a place that they haven't been able to get to without, you know, having the closure that they felt like they had.
What do we think that would do to the wiring of a child's brain who grew up with a grandmother that was never there but then was made live again in some way via AI, and then somehow now having to determine the difference between real and AI relationships?
I mean, I think it's
going
to be pretty, like, normalized to be like, oh, how many grandparents do you have?
Yeah.
How many grandparents do you have? Oh, I have two who are IRL and two who are on an app. Right?
I understand, like, the normalization of that. I think you're absolutely right there. But I'm talking about what that does to our little brains and the affecting of, like, how somebody is determining real and fake, and then withdrawal from society because they're relying on things that aren't actually there. It's
right.
Socialization.
Because their virtual parents give them the answers they want,
yes,
where their actual parents don't give them the answers they want. Like, sure, there's going to be a whole set of challenges, right? Just like the internet, right? When the internet came, it changed. Like, it's just the next version of where things are going. I mean, every generation, it's like, oh, they have Elvis Presley on the TV channels. I mean, we're all going to lose our minds over this. Like, that's just how innovation and technology happens.
All right, can I ask a real question now?
Please.
Yes, is it about that?
I think
concept?
These were the realest questions we could have possibly asked.
Yes. You know what?
Okay.
If you live in my world...
Are the Seahawks or Buccaneers
better? No, if you live in my world, you don't have to worry about it. So just live in my world.
Wait, so Chewy, this is the first
live
week.
Live in my world.
This is the first week that someone good is going to win in the entire NFL season, because the Rams are playing the Seahawks. So unless they tie, we're actually going to have a good team win this week, and we're going to have to say that someone is a good team.
I would agree. But my question to you is, what does Matt LaFleur have to do this season to retain his job? And if he does retain his job, what does he have to do to get a contract extension?
I guess I'm not even thinking his job should be on the line, like, right now. Like, I think when you look around the league, like, they are kind of where everyone else should. McDermott in Buffalo, is his job on the line?
Yeah.
Should Andy Reid's job be on the line right now?
No. Like, when you go to 7,000 straight Super Bowls, your job's not
on the line. But I'm saying, like, this is kind of where everyone is. It's like, right now, I'm so frustrated that the Bucks lost to the Hornets, but, like, the Bucks are tied with, like, everybody for, like, that's pretty much the second best record in the Eastern Conference right now. And, like, the Packers are just part of what the NFC and what the NFL are this year. So I think, Chewy, I think there are questions right now. And obviously, if they lose this game, right, I think we're going to look at this as, like, wow, they're not just playing down to the Panthers and, like, oh, wow, now their offense couldn't score in the entire first half and lost to the Eagles. Like, this is something, right? And it's either going to be Jordan Love or LaFleur, and Jordan Love's got the long-term contract, right? So I get where you're going with it, but I just think it's too early. I think they win this week.
Agree.
I think it all gets settled, and I think they're one of the better teams in the NFC.
All right. To get a contract extension, what does he have to do?
I guess they need to either win the division or win a playoff game.
To get a contract extension, doesn't he need to do more than that?
I think either of those gets it done.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Because don't you think either of those is a pretty good accomplishment?
Yeah.
Given the parity that exists in the league?
Mm.
Like, you're going to have to beat someone pretty good to win a playoff game. And if you win this division, this is a pretty
it's
darn
a good
division.
And so it's something that they haven't done with Jordan Love at quarterback.
Yeah, so I think either of those shows that they're still on the right track. And the fan base is really down on the floor right now, right? Like, he's
correct.
The guy, he is the target of all of this.
Correct.
It's not Jordan Love.
Correct.
Yeah. It's understandable, but I think it's early. And I think, you know,
I
one
agree.
Game could make things feel very different.
Craig,
but not this game.
Craig, always appreciate you stopping in on Fridays.
Jameis Winston, baby.
Let me tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When it comes to your home, the smart play, trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. So many of us have here at ESPN Milwaukee. I've trusted them with my front door, but maybe you're looking for windows, and this month you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month. with 0% interest for up to 72 months. That's a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by the Pella Windows, stopping the drive. So don't wait. Schedule that free. That's right, free consultation today. PellaWI.com.
Gabe and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
What did we put on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll today?
Well, I posted a bunch of polls on the YouTube chat.
Okay.
Shout out to our friends at Infinity Exteriors. Mm-hmm. I did post another one, though, and you're going to have to give me a second here to find it.
Oh, I've got you. You put up, do you believe Matt LaFleur is a top 10 play caller in the NFL? 77% of people say no.
And that was the same exact sentiment, pretty much in line with the exact numbers on YouTube as well.
Okay.
Those audiences aren't necessarily the same.
So. Did you poll, at least on YouTube, is one syllable better than two?
I didn't.
No, come on. The only one I wanted to know the result
that's
of.
That's so weak.
I wanted to know if the people felt that one syllable is better than two. But I guess we'll have to save that for next week.
It's a great mystery we can find out here in the near future.
Will and Tausch coming up next.